As I mentioned, the title to our message today is His Call, Our Time, and His Glory. That is the theme for our Global Impact Celebration that begins September the 10th through the 14th. And I believe that God's call is still going out to men and women and boys and girls. I believe that we can see evidence of that call with the very first humans that were ever created. That would have been Adam and Eve. Even after they had blown it and sinned against God, and they found themselves naked and ashamed of their nakedness and of their violation of God's commandment, they were hiding from God. And God's call went out to them and said, Adam, where are you? We believe also that the call of God went out to their firstborn son, Cain, when it was time for them to present a sacrifice for their sins to the Lord. Then he brought the works of his hands, and he didn't bring the first fruits of his labor. And he was cursed with a curse. And God says to him, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Every single one of us here today are recipients of the call of God. Some of us have not yet received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and his call to salvation continues to go out to you. His call to sanctification goes out to those who have named the name of Christ as we choose to believe that we are set apart, that we are different from the world, and God has a plan for our life and a purpose for our life, and we sanctify ourselves. We separate ourselves unto the purposes of God because we're obedient to his call. His call leads us to our time. God wants us to redeem the time because the days are evil, and we need to prioritize the time that we have because there'll come a time when God's Spirit will not always strive with mankind. There'll come a time when God's call will go out no more and no one could ever answer again. So our time is very, very valuable, and we need to order our lives for His glory. We believe that it is His call. We believe that He's speaking to us about our time, and we believe that we do everything we do for His glory. Well, we find a situation just like that in John's Gospel, chapter 4. We find that chapter 4 and verses 27 through 38 picking us up with an encounter between Jesus and a woman at the Jacob's well. Jesus, the Bible tells us in chapter 4, that he had to go through Samaria because he had a divine appointment waiting on him, and he was going to issue a call to this woman to believe in him as the Messiah. She would have to drop what she was doing in her time, and she would have to be willing to surrender to him and live her life for his glory, and she does that. Well, the disciples, they had come to Samaria against their will. It would be like you going to a part of town that you just weren't comfortable in. It would be like you going to a section of a city that you might not feel welcome in. You might even have hatred or animosity towards the people that live there, or they might have it towards you. That was the way that these disciples were, because they hated the Samaritans. They hated Samaria. And when Jesus says, hey guys, we've got to go through Samaria, and they said, oh mercy. So they go off to get lunch instead of dealing with people. They come back up, and Jesus is talking to a woman of Samaria, and a woman who probably didn't have the best reputation in town. And then they begin to say, I wonder if he's hungry. That's what you say when you don't know what else to say. Are you hungry? Well, he said, no, I'm not hungry, guys. And they said, well, who gave him anything to eat? And he said, I've got some food that you have no idea about. I've got something that satisfies better than that McDonald's burger you got. You believe they had McDonald's back then, don't you? Anyway, that's what all of us need to come to understand, that doing the will of God and joining Him in the work of God is better food for us than anything else that we'd ever have. If you find yourself feeling empty, if you find yourself feeling useless, if you find yourself feeling purposeless, then I'd challenge you to get involved in the work of God. Well, listen to His call. Order your time and do it all for His glory. And when we do and examine the rest of this text, there are three things that I want to call to your attention. When we think about His call, the very first thing that I want us to learn from this text is that the instructions that are associated with His call have been received by us. When we look at this text, we'll see some instructions. And in these instructions, we will receive them here today. Now, I want to challenge every single one of you, young and old, to think about these instructions and see if you have truly received them and are applying them in your life. To our students, to our singles, to our senior adults, to our young adults, I want us to look at these instructions and see if we have really received them. There are two sets of instructions. First of all, there was something that we need to lift. There is something that we need to lift, and I'm not talking about surgically lift. I'm not talking about body parts that we need to lift. What I'm talking about is found in verse 35. Jesus says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your what? Lift up your eyes." That is what the Spirit's call is saying to all of us. Just lift up your eyes. And I want you to make sure that you're seeing what you need to see and hearing what you need to hear. I don't know about you, but when I saw that video clip, man, my eyes began to see things that I had seen before, but I began to neglect. My eyes began to show me things in people's lives that everybody needs to know Jesus. Amen? There's something that we need to lift. But number two, he says the second instruction that we need to receive is that there's somewhere we need to look. There is somewhere that we need to look. In verse 35, he says, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the what? Look on the fields." Now, the logical question that you might ask, and I'm going to attempt to answer it for you because I've already asked it, what are our fields? If he has instructed us to lift up our eyes and to look on our fields, then what are our fields? Well, here's what I'd like for all of you to do with the aid of the Spirit. I want you to think of where you live, wherever you stay, wherever you sleep, and I want you to draw a great big circle around that. That's the starting point of your fields. That's the starting point of my fields. Draw a great big circle around where you stay, where you live, and Jesus says, I want you to begin lifting up your eyes, and I want you to begin looking on those fields in a way that you might not have looked on them in a long while. All right, you got the first step of your fields, right? The place where you stay, the place where you live, the place where you sleep. All right, now the next thing I want you to do is I want you to draw a great big circle around the place where you go to school, the place where you work, the place where you shop. And that's a part of your field. And what God is instructing us to do is to lift up our eyes and look on our fields of where we go to school, where we work, and where we shop and do our bidding. And then there's a third circle that I want you to draw, and that's where you go to church. Where you go to church. And that's a part of your field. And what God is challenging us all to do, from the youngest to the oldest, is to receive these instructions because they're a part of His call for your life. And as a part of His call, then guess what? We're going to answer. And we're going to give an account for the answer that we have. And one day we'll stand before God. He'll say, how did you look at your fields? What did you do as a part of the fields that I placed you in? And today we've got a part of our field where we live. We've got a part of our field where we work and where we shop and go to school. And a part of our field is where we're privileged to be members and worshipers at Truth Tabernacle of Praise at 5705 Memorial Drive. So a part of His call is the instructions need to be received. There's something that we need to lift, and that's our eyes. And there's some place that we need to look, and that is on our fields. Well, now, that leads us to a second thing. Not only the instructions that we must receive, but the insights that He will reveal. There are insights that have been revealed when we lift up our eyes and we begin to look at our field. Now, there are two specific insights that I think we should all be able to see today. And here's what I want to do. First, the first one is the time for the harvest is apparent. The time for the harvest is apparent. He says, look at the fields that they are white for harvest. Now, where you live and where you stay, where you go to school, where you work, where you shop, where you attend church, the fields are white. They are ripe and they're ready for harvesting. And he's talking about the field of souls because everybody needs to know about Jesus. Now, what do we see when we look at our fields? As I was putting this together, I wanted to try to give it to you in a portion in which you could wrap your brain around it, to where you could wrap your spirit around it. And I found some astonishing things that I've been able to put together for us to see as we look at our fields. How many people would you say live in the metropolitan Atlanta area? What's your best guesstimate? 4 million. 4.5 million. Who's got another guesstimate? 5 million people live in the metro Atlanta area. Do you realize from the time that Atlanta was established as a city, it took 122 years to reach the first 1 million residents? From the time that the 122 years passed and we had our first 1 million people, it took 21 years to have 2 million people living here. So from 1959, when we reached the first 1 million in residency, it took 21 years, and that took us to 1980. Do you realize that it took 13 years from 1980 to reach the third 1 million in population in the metro Atlanta area? And do you realize that it took 7 years from those 13 years to reach the fourth 1 million level in population, and it took less than 6 years to reach 5 million? When Jesus tells us to lift up our eyes and look at our fields, we should be able to see 5 million people that need to know about Jesus living around us. You say, Pastor, I thought that was conservative because I know there's 5 million on I-85 in the morning when I get out there. Do I have a witness on that? Now, this is where it gets a little more disturbing. The most recent statistics and surveys come back that out of the 5 million people that live in Atlanta, 70% of them do not profess to know Jesus. 70% of 5 million people that live in your field and live around my field don't even profess to know Jesus. We are our own mission field right here in the metro Atlanta area. I've got some more heartbreaking news for you. Of those that profess to know Jesus, do you know that 60% of 60-year-olds and up even attend church? If you're 60 years old and up, 60% of you attend church on a regular basis. And that's the best statistic of any age group. Would it surprise you to learn that of people who are 42 to 59 years old, that only 40% of them attend anybody's church? These are people that are professing to know Jesus. Now, we move beyond the 70% that don't even profess to know Jesus. We're into the 30% that do profess to know Jesus. 60% of 60-year-olds old and up go to church. 40% between 42 and 59 attend church. It gets worse. 18% of 30-year-olds to 41-year-olds attend church. It gets worse. 4% of 13 to 29-year-olds attend church. Is it any wonder to you that the Spirit of God would be calling us to lift up our eyes today and to look at our fields? Is it any surprise to you that we would find that the fields in which we are surrounded with are white, they are ripe, they are ready for somebody to harvest them? Would it surprise you to find out and to discern and to learn that somebody's harvesting them? If it's not the gangs, it's the pimps. If it's not the pimps, it's the prostitutes. If it's not pornography, then it's drugs. If it's not drugs, it's the cults. Somebody's harvesting them because they're white and it's ripe for the picking. And Jesus says, oh, I've given you the instructions and I hope that you'll see the inside. Let me tell you something else that's even more startling, and you can look around in here and you can see that it's true. In the state of Georgia, there are 900,000 teenagers. 900,000 teenagers. Do you realize that for every 100 teenagers, Only 12 of them attend church. Only 12 teenagers out of every 100 attend church. And do you realize that when they graduate from high school and begin their first year of college, only 2 out of every 100 attend church? Only 2 out of every 100 attend church. You know, I'm not so much banging on teenagers as I am adults in churches. It's no reason they don't, because we don't give them a reason to. We don't give them the encouragement that they need. We don't give them the validation that they need. We don't give them the resources that they need. We don't give them the privileges that they need. And when they go out and they face the world, the flesh and or the devil, and they get bombarded by them, it's no wonder they say, church or this, church or this. And then you put the gangs in that are doing their vast recruiting. Then you put the cults in that are doing their vast recruiting. It's no wonder that we have to come to realize through the insights that God wants to reveal to us that our fields are white unto harvest. And when we look at where we live, and when we look at where we work, when we look at where we go to school, when we look at where we have been positioned as a church, man, our fields are ripe unto harvest. The time for harvest is apparent. But number two, the tragedy of the harvest is appalling. The tragedy of the harvest is appalling. I borrow from Matthew's account of the same situation. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called synoptic gospels. They have pretty much the same or similar information. One might leave one part of the story out, and the other might cover that part of the story. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, he includes a statement at the end of that first sentence that speaks to the tragedy that's so appalling. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus says, the harvest is what? But the workers are what? Few. And that's where God's call is going out to you, and that's where God's call is going out to me. Is he's not asking you to invent time. He's not asking you to create more time. He's asking you to redeem the time that you do have. He's asking you to prioritize the time that you do have. He's not asking you to neglect your family. He's not asking you to neglect your home. He's not asking you to neglect your work. He's not asking you to neglect anything else. He's just simply asking you to redeem the time in response to his call. Lift up your eyes and look at the fields. They are white unto harvest, and become a part of the solution as opposed to part of the statistic. Amen. He says the fields are ripe. Their harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. One of the things that I'm the proudest of in 25 years of ministry are the numbers of people that God has called into full-time ministry in that 25 years. God is still calling people to full-time vocational service. But one of the things that I'm the most grieved over in 25 years is how few laborers are still in the harvest and in the fields on a regular basis, at their home, at their work, at their school, and at their church. How do you correct that? How do we go about correcting that? Well, he gives us the answer. He gives us the answer. He says, Matthew 9:37, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, what does that word beseech mean? Some of you students back here, what's the latest jersey that you'd like to have? What's the latest jersey you'd like to have? Kobe Bryant, oh my goodness. And then they add a retro jersey in on that. You need the retro jersey too. You know that? Who else? Who's your team? Who's your team this year? Who's your person this year? How about, huh? Tennessee? Did you say Tennessee? Oh, wrong shade of orange for you, right? Yeah. What if you really wanted that jersey? What if you really wanted that car? Who needs a car? Anybody need a car and to do that? And what if there was somebody that could get you that car and you beseech them. What would that sound like to you? Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. Hey, I need this car. I'd like this jersey. Hey, look at that jersey. They're on sale now. Man, look at this. They're 2-for-1. I can have one. You can have one. Jesus is saying, I want you to beseech me. I want you to beg me. I want you to implore me. I want you to cry out to me, the Lord of the harvest, to send workers into the field. Oh, that's the solution to this. I can't browbeat you into it. I can't put false guilt on you and get you to do it. But here's what we can do. We can sick God on all of us. And we can cry out to the Lord for Him to send people into the field. I believe He's going to do it. Amen?
Amen?
I believe that He's still calling people to work in the field. I believe He's still calling people to disciple people in the field. And I believe that people are still hearing Him and their time is being prioritized to join Him in the field. Well, there's a third thing real quickly that I want to show you. Not only do we see that the instructions have been received and the insights have been revealed, but in closing, the involvement that is required. I want to show you the involvement that is required and is really quite simple and exciting to me. Whenever we're passionate about the glory of God, whenever we want a fresh touch of the presence of God to invade us, you see, that's what the glory of God is, amen? I don't want you to think of the glory of God as some existential thing that you can't feel, experience, or know. I don't want you to think the glory of God is some intangible thing that just appears in songs and sermons. The glory of God is simply a fresh manifestation or a fresh touch of the presence of God on a life, on a city, on a nation, on a church, on an individual. And when we talk about the glory of God, we simply want the manifest presence to touch us all over again and renew us and revive us to the work that He's called us to do. And so for His glory, then there's an involvement that's required from all of us. And first of all, the commandment is universal. The commandment is universal, and this commandment is Bubba friendly. All right? Look at this. This is for Bubba, okay? This commandment is universal. John chapter 4, verse 38 says what? I sent you. Who's you? Say, you is me. Say, you is me. Me is you. So together, this commandment is universal. This commandment is universal for us. He says, I. Now, what's that next word? For those of you that are joining us on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the charismata, the gifts of the Spirit. Would it surprise you to learn what that word sent is? It's the word apostle. Apostle. I have made you an apostle. I have given you the authority. I have commissioned you. I have sent you. I have called you. You have surrendered to me. And when you surrender to me, I am now sending you. The commandment is universal. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Me is you. You is me. We have the commandment. Two principles that I want to show you about this universal commandment. First of all, sowing and reaping will be rewarded. Say that back to me. Sowing and reaping will be what? Look at verse 36. And he who reaps what? Receives wages. Oh, it's payday. That's what looking at the harvest is all about. That's what looking at the fields are all about. That's what giving somebody a cup of cold water in Jesus' name is all about. That's what taking somebody a food basket is all about. That's what angel food ministry is all about. That's what Adopt-A-Block is all about. That's what working with children is all about. That's what working with teenagers is all about. That's what singing in the choir is all about. That's sowing and that's reaping. And God's saying, he who sows and he who reaps, they will both be rewarded. Amen? One of the things that we need to see about ourselves as a church is that we have to first be a sowing church. We need to be all about sowing the truth and sowing compassion and sowing freedom and sowing love into people's lives. And when you do that, God's going to give it some water. God's going to give it some increase. And there might be somebody else that even comes along and harvest that. Do you know what most pastors and most churches say when somebody else reaps the harvest? Oh, man. You can have a real judgment day honest test by somebody else harvesting what you've sown. And there's so much competition and so much jealousy among the churches that we won't even get together to sow together because we're afraid somebody else is going to reap. And God is saying, you've got to quit that. You've got to come and get together and just be more concerned about sowing and reaping than you are who gets to reap what has been sown. We've got to partner together with more unity than the gangs do. We've got to partner together with more unity than the cults do. And we've got to come and we've got to make sure that we've got plenty of seed to sow because the fields, they are ready to be harvested. Now, if we really don't care who gets to reap and we're really committed to sowing, by accident, we'll reap more than we sow. It's just the law of the sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You reap later than you sow. So since our birth, since our inception, since our strategically being placed here, we've been sowing through Adopt-A-Block. We've been sowing through block parties. We've been sowing through acts of kindness. We've been sowing through sports camps. We've been sowing and sowing and sowing. And guess what? Unless the Lord of the harvest is a liar, there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. The law of the harvest says you can't help but reap what you sow. And you're going to reap more than you've sown. And I don't know about you, but that makes me excited to think about all the things that we're sowing. But if in God's economy, if in God's plan, somebody else gets to reap them, then we're going to still say, praise the Lord and hallelujah, because we're going to be on the other side together one day. We got to get over numbers and nickels and noses. And we got to make sure that our eye is on the prize, His glory. His glory. His glory. His glory. It's His call. It's our time. It's His glory. Oh, in the sowing and the reaping, in the sowing and reaping, it'll be rewarded. And there are two things that we'll get to reward. First of all, the treasures, well, they'll be eternal. The treasures that we get rewarded for are eternal. Aren't you glad for that? I don't know why I was thinking of this illustration or application, but I got through the first 12 years of school, I got some school awards. I don't know if they give these awards away anymore or not, but I got one that I really wasn't particularly proud of. I got one for perfect attendance. Perfect attendance. I don't think I missed 3 days of school in 12 years. Not because I didn't want to. Mama had a secret weapon. His name was Doc Tucker. Doc Tucker only had one treatment, no matter what you went in with. If you broke your toe, if you had a fever, if you had severed a limb, it didn't matter what it was that you had. You got a shot of penicillin, streptomycin, I'll see you again next week. No matter what you went to Doc Tucker for, you're going to get a shot. And that was before they knew how to give them without hurting so bad. It was their motto was no pain, no gain. And so all we had to do was say, I think my throat's sore. We'll go see Doc Tucker. No, that's all right. That's all right. I'll go to school. I'll go to school. I had a room full of trophies from every kind of sports you can imagine. I mean, just a room full of trophies. But you know, those are earthly treasures. And they at best got tarnished. And they at best got outdated. And today, I remember the time when we said, hey, we don't need those things anymore. You can just throw them away. So a whole room full of trophies from little bitty things to big things. Now, back in the day, they didn't give participation trophies. I don't know when that came in, but but you had to do something to do it. So it represented hard work. It represented achievement. It represented accomplishment. But you know, they're gone. But you know what he says here? When you participate in the harvest of God's field, he that sows and he that reaps will be rewarded with treasures that are eternal. Man, that's good. There's another one. There's another one. Not only with treasures that are eternal, but look at this. Testimonies that are exciting. One of the things about being in a sowing ministry and a reaping ministry is that there are testimonies that are exciting. Man, we've had some tremendous testimonies right here at Truth Tabernacle. I mean, that's what it's all about. I don't know if y'all remember a Rick that came in here. So much of what we do, we have transitional community. We have so many people that are here today and they're gone somewhere else tomorrow. And we only have a short while to sow. And we only have an even shorter while to possibly reap. But we had the phone call that came in that there was a man that hadn't had any food since Friday. I got some men. I got Pat and Paige and Hugh and some others. And I said, would y'all like to go on a mission today? They said, yeah. So they went down to the hotel room. They found this guy. He had HIV. Didn't have long to live. He woke up that morning thinking that was going to be just like any other day. He'd live it alone. He would have no food. And it'd be another day closer to his death. They went down with nothing on the agenda but to love him like the love of the Lord. And to invest and to pour love into his life. Fed him, encouraged him, blessed him, said, hey, are there any more like y'all anywhere else? He said, yeah, we got a whole church full down here. They'd love to meet you. He said, well, I don't sell all the clothes I got. Well, come on down here. Came on down here, and that Sunday he received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Now, I want to tell you, that's a treasure that's eternal. And I want to tell you, that's a testimony that's exciting. If you want a testimony that's exciting, just go with us to Adopt a Block sometime. You just go up and you just go up and say, is there anything that we can do at your house today? Well, yeah, my grass needs mowed. Well, could we mow it for you? Well, how much will it cost? It don't cost anything. It's already been paid for. You just to see the look on their face, what do you mean it don't cost anything? Well, it don't cost anything. Well, why are you doing this? We do this because we love you. Why do you love us? Because love never fails. And it's the love of God in us that constrains us, compels us to do so. I couldn't tell you how many times just the blessing of a tear from somebody in gratitude and thanksgiving comes upon. Angel Food Ministry is the same way. Angel Food, it's a sowing ministry. It's a loving ministry. And when we're involved in those kinds of things, we get to sow seed into people's lives. God will give it increase. And one day, he'll give it increase. We might get to reap, but even if we don't get to reap, somebody else will get to reap. Praise the Lord, all that matters is it gets reaped, amen? Because that treasure will be eternal. And these are just some testimonies that we know about here. And you know the best testimonies? The ones that you don't get to hear here, but you get to hear there. I mean, you thought it was just hot that day. You just thought it was cold that day. You just thought it didn't make any difference that day. You thought that the seed that you sowed fell on hard ground, stony ground, but you didn't know the increase that God gave. You didn't know the work that God did. You didn't know the increase that came about and somebody else harvested that person. And one day after we've been there 10,000 years, God said, go find that person right there and share your testimony with them right there. And praise God, to the glory of God, we get to hear of another one that came to know Jesus because of a sowing ministry that God gave us, a reaping ministry that somebody else had, but the glory of God was manifest in it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Closing, last point. Not only do we see that sowing and reaping will be rewarded, but also we see that the commitment must be unified. The commandment is universal, but the commitment is unified. He says in verse 37, the saying is true, one sows and another one reaps. That's our commitment to the unification. And when we do that, over and over again, the singing and the rejoicing will be repeated over and over again. Well, what kind of response does the Lord want us to make today? What kind of response would he hold us accountable for after hearing about his call, our time, and his glory? Let me just elaborate a couple of them as we lead into our invitation. It could very well be that you've never answered God's call to salvation for your life. You know that there's a God. You know that he loves you. Jesus is the name above all names. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. You know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But for whatever reason, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus. That's what's expected of you today, because today is the day of your salvation. Yesterday would have been great, but yesterday's gone. Never have it again. Tomorrow might be okay, but you're not promised tomorrow. What you are promised is today. If you're burdened over the condition of our field of souls, then what God would want you to do is to cry out to the Lord. He'd want you to cry out to the Lord of the harvest and ask Him to send more laborers into the field. If you're a member of the church, but you're not using your time for His glory, then today make adjustments and get plugged into our sowing and reaping ministries. We serve each other. We serve our community. And there's room available for you. If you are a member of the church, but you'd like to, if you're not a member of the church, but you'd like to be one, then today would be a good day for you to make that known to us. You can fill out a card that's in the back of the chair, that's a membership application card, or you can come and see me when I ask everyone to respond in just a moment. Say, I'm ready to start the process of becoming a member of Truth Tabernacle of Praise. If you are a member, but you haven't been redeeming your time, and you'd like a place to serve, we've got a place for you. Our students, we want to change the statistics. We're not happy and we're not satisfied that 12 out of 100 students come to church. We want to increase that. But you know, it's not really going to increase until we increase our passion and our commitment and our service to them. You know, we don't want any of the students that we do have to stop going to church after they leave high school. Become a part of that statistic where there's two. But what we want to do is, what I want to ask you to do as part of this invitation, is I want you to purposely, intentionally, lift up your eyes, and I want you to look on your fields. How many teachers do we have present here? Homeschool, public school, private school? I want you to think of your field in a new way today. How many bus drivers we got here today? Boy, my goodness, didn't it challenge you to think of your field in a different way to do that? How about your co-workers? You got one that just really gets on you? I mean, one that can wipe the stripe off your candy cane any moment of any day, and usually does. Think of that as part of your field. Think of that as part of your field. When you see the homeless people walking back and forth, when you see them not being good stewards of the property, think of them as a part of the field that God's called us to. And just remember this little saying, everybody needs Jesus. A lot of people will turn you down and tell you no. But here's what I find. Most people don't know Jesus because they've not been asked to know Jesus. And if we can take the 70% of 5 million people and just begin to look at them as a part of our field and just simply asking them, do you ever think about spiritual things? Have you ever come to a place in your life that you know for certain that you'll go to heaven when you die? Anything like that, just be willing to engage them. What we want to do is look at God's call, give Him our time, and do it for His glory. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, we thank You for the outstanding patience of Your people. We thank You for the sacrificial servants that You have assembled here at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We thank You for the many ways that we do sow godly seed in love and in tears. And Lord, we thank You for those that You have called and have responded to be a part of the harvest. But Lord, right now we're doing what You commanded us to do. And Lord, we're crying out to You, the Lord of the harvest, to draw more workers into Your field to partner with us at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. Lord, I believe that You're calling people from the north, the south, the east, and the west to partner with us here to work in Your field. And Lord, we're thankful for that. And Lord, they're going to hear that call, and they're going to respond to that call. I thank You for those like Philip and Pat that, Lord, have heard Your specific call to a career in missions. And Lord, they're willing to adjust their lives and lead their families into the field of souls on other soil. And Lord, I pray for you to call others in the same way. Lord, we thank you and we consider it a privilege to be serving you at such a time as this. And Lord, give us a burden for our field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.